Shalom friends, Parashat Pinchas. Surely this is not the perfect setting. I'm sitting here in a car in Newark Airport in New Jersey on the way back from a tour of the West Coast in Canada. It was an amazing week, busy week, flights, scheduled meetings, and I didn't have the time to record this message. It is now Thursday afternoon, 2:00, New York time, and if I'm not going to do it now, I won't have. So therefore, I'm stopping here in a parking lot and I'm going to give you this message for this week. Maybe the setting here will also be a part of the message. In this week portion, Parashat Pinchas, we read a couple of issues and we start with the zealous movement of Pinchas. Actually, in the last week portion, we read this advice that Bilaam gave to King Balak. He said to him, "The God of Israel does not like anything that involves inappropriate relationship. Send your girls and have some temptation on the people of Israel. They will sin. God will be cursing them and he will be upset." And indeed, that's what happens. The people of Israel sin. And more than that, the president of the tribe of Simon, Zimri ben Salu, is also sinning. In that moment, everybody is shocked. A leader in Israel is doing something so wrong in front of everybody. Until Pinchas, from the Kohanim tribe, from the priesthood, decides to kill him and to kill the women he sinned with. He did it in a very, very show-like movement. Everybody was shocked, but that moment, the decree against the people of Israel, the plague that happened, stopped. This actually happened last week. And on this week portion, it starts with a blessing that Pinchas receives from God. Eten lo et briti shalom. I will give him my connection, my blessing of peace. What? Peace, after doing something so violent, so strong? Yes, he might did something important and good, but how is peace connected to that? And the rest parasha, there's a lot of other things that are involved this last segment before entering the land. We meet a story of five girls, daughters of a man that didn't have boys. And when they split the tribes and the land of Israel, this family did not receive a place on Israel. They come and complain to Moses, asking him, because we didn't have a brother, it means that our father home won't receive a land in Israel. We also want to receive. Moses asks God, Moshe asks God, and God tells them, they are right. You need to give them a piece of the land. It continues on to different rituals of sacrifice in the holidays. These elements, three elements, are bringing us a question if you will see the editing of the portion. Why is it that the last week portion tells us the story and the aftermath, the blessing, happens only in this week portion? What made the difference and why was it so important to tell us now? There are many answers about it, but the rabbi who gives the answer that I think connects all the threads is the Lubavitcher Rebbe, actually buried not far from here in New York. The Lubavitcher Rebbe is the leader of the Chabad movement, the Lubavitch movement. He has emissaries literally all over the world. He was a rabbi that changed the Jewish world. He started in the 50s and understood that there are Jewish people that are crying for help. They live in deserted area, they are isolated, and they don't have any Jewish education. So we would send his emissaries, his shlichim, and they would go to every corner in the world and bring some of Judaism. They would open a synagogue, a school, kosher food, allowing every Jew to practice as a Jew. And he says something pretty intense about what happened in this week portion, and he says as follows. He says, you know what we read about in this week? And I think it's really connected to us in CFOIC. that what Pinchas did was very risky. He did something that we call Mesirut Nefesh. He sacrificed his life. And the Rebbe explains that we are entering the land in this week portions, and we need to understand that to live in Israel, sometimes it involves crazy things like risking your life. And I thought about it that this is a very simple understanding. Sacrificing your life for things that you believe is something that is rooted in many people who believe in something. But the Rebbe emphasizes in a very different way, and he says as follows. He says, no, you didn't get it. The land of Israel requires you, by definition, to be a person who understands that to live in the area, you need to sacrifice. You're going to work hard, you're going to struggle. And is it so true? Because really, when you see the history of the people of Israel, you see that in every time when we established a place in the land of Israel, it didn't finish quietly. At the time of the temple and the destruction that we are right now in, the 3 weeks of mourning period of Yud Zayin Betamuz and Tisha B'Av, the mourning periods of the destruction of the temple, we lived in a place where war didn't stop against us. In the time of the Maccabees, when he had another establishment of the land, it stopped after 75 years. And we see that even after, when the students of the rabbis in the last 300 years came to establish not a state, but just a place to live in Israel, in the Holy Land, it always came with a lot of sacrifice. And people ask themselves at this moment of what happens in Israel is, how much more can we sacrifice? Why is it integrated in the system that the people who live in Israel, to live in Israel means to sacrifice, to have this Mesirut Nefesh, as the Rebbe explains? And I think that the answer is in the blessing. The blessing that Pinchas gave to something that's so violent is Briti Shalom, the covenant of peace. And you might ask yourself, what's the connection between peace and war? You just say that you need to sacrifice. You're just going to say that it's not going to be easy and there's going to be war and you need to fight. How is covenant of peace connected to that? Peace in that way is not what we think peace is. It is not John Lennon, no war. It's the understanding that everything has its place. It says that the word peace, one of God's word, is the understanding that this world, there are different objects and different places and different things, and needs to be a place for everything. There's nothing negative in this world. It's always a matter of where and when. What's your place and where will you find peace? Meaning you're in the right place in the right time. Now, this peace covenant tells us something deep about the meaning of being in Israel. Those emissaries, the Chabad emissaries, who sends Judaism all over the world, are there to bring peace to wherever Jewish people are. But sometimes we tend to forget this. And we live in an area, in a state, in a situation, where sometimes life that's going to be comfortable and is going to be easy will make us forget the reason of giving up and sacrificing in the land of Israel. Why would you do it? Why would you sacrifice in Israel? But can you live here in New York in a more pleasant way? I came from places with Jewish communities, and I always tend to think about it, that a person who does not understand that to live in Israel comes with a sacrifice, and he tries to avoid it, and he tries to look for simple, easy life, surely he won't ask to live in the land. The land requires you to sacrifice. And the fact that people are avoiding this sacrifice exactly explains to you why some people still don't live in Israel. How can we act with the fact that there are so many of our brothers and sisters do not live in Israel? That's exactly the portion. Because you see, those five girls who teaches us the biggest lesson. Five girls that could have decided to live quietly with their husbands, with their tribes, wherever they are. But they understand and they're connected to the land. So they come to Moses and they ask a piece of the land. They know it means the sacrifice. They know it means their kids are going to go to the army and serve. They know what it means to live in a place that, by definition, needs to be a sacrifice to live in. But the passion and love and connection to the land allows them and many heroic ladies throughout the generations to be part of this movement, a movement that understands living in Israel is finding peace because you're in your right place. Finding peace comes with the fact that you're in the right place, but you will sacrifice a lot to live there. And the connection of all of that to this time and age, the 3 weeks of mourning period, allows us to remember, what are we fighting for? Yesterday, I saw Prime Minister Netanyahu's lecture talk in the Congress. And out of the many things he said, he explained this small thing that Yehiel Leiter, a father of somebody, an officer that died, was 40 years old with 6 children. He died in combat, and he said in his funeral, the father says about his son, until the establishment of Israel, the image of a Jew was this young kid in the Holocaust raising his hand with the hat. Not anymore. The establishment of Israel teaches us the moral perspective of fighting for our existence, even with the price of sacrifice, of giving our life sometimes, in the name of the nation in the land. Yechiel said, and Prime Minister Netanyahu quoted him, the image of this kid is no more here. Now the image is of a heroic person who sacrificed, who's paying sometimes big prices to live and redeem our place, our small corner on the planet, with the help of God, establishing the love and connection to Israel. Shabbat Shalom.